The lips of the righteous nourish many, but fools die for lack of sense.
Don't worry, the sermon won't be that short. But do please keep Proverbs chapter 10, verse 21 open, because over the next 2 weeks at the 9:30 service, we will be in Proverbs. We're going to spend 2 weeks thinking about how to live well and wisely as a congregation together. Because, for example, at the 9:30, one of the things I know lots of us would love is that we have a great range of ages here amongst us, from Lily, who is 97, to little babes in arms, just a few weeks old. And in between that, we have probably every decade of life represented amongst us. How do we live well and wisely as a congregation that spans the years? What does it mean for us as individuals to live well when we're young, or when we're middle-aged, or when we're old? Next week, Nathan Van Sittert will preach on intergenerational community from Proverbs. But today I'm going to get us to take a step back to think about how we speak to one another as a congregation in a way that nourishes life. In two of our sermons in February, Rector Charlie spoke to us from the New Testament, from 1 and 2 Peter, and he reminded us that we are word babies who need to grow fat on the word. He spoke from 1 Peter that says, like newborn babies, crave pure spiritual milk so that by it you may grow up in your salvation. So spiritually speaking, as Christians, we are like babies. So here's a picture of, this is my boy Rory, back when he was a few weeks old. Spiritually speaking, we're like this. Here he is weighing 8 pounds or something a few weeks in. Now in that first few months, that baby needs to put on weight. And my Rory was an example of a baby who craved milk. So here he is, 5 months later, something like that, 5 months later. As you can tell, he enjoyed his food. This is a picture, a spiritual picture of the Christian life. We are word babies who need to grow fat on the knowledge of the word. So knowing our Bibles is what God uses to grow us in our faith. Peter says, in 2 Peter, God has given us everything we need for a godly life through our knowledge of him. And Charlie asked us to imagine each of us in this room as word babies being fed knowledge by other word babies. So we are the ones who feed each other with knowledge. And I want us to spend the next few weeks in Proverbs, giving us more space to think about how to live this out practically in our congregational life. Because Proverbs is a book in the Old Testament all about how to live wisely in a confusing and difficult world. Chapters 1 to 9 are all about listening to wisdom. It says, fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. So trusting, revering, and loving God is the foundation. What we need to live wisely is knowledge of God. Chapter 10, verse 14 says that the wise store up knowledge. And our question for today I want to leave us with is, what will we do with that knowledge? So today, it was a short reading, but that's it. I want to give us just one proverb to chew on today. Proverbs chapter 10, verse 21. Have a look down with me, please. Page 644. The lips of the righteous nourish many, but fools die for lack of sense. The righteous there. Proverbs speaks of all people in two different categories. It's binary. There's the righteous and the foolish, and everyone is in one of these two camps. Now, whether or not you're righteous or foolish is not about perfectly keeping every rule in a kind of self-righteous, I've achieved this and got the top mark myself kind of way. Nor is it about intelligence or IQ or being street smart. It's all about whether or not you fear the Lord. If you've come to him for grace and mercy, you have God's righteousness. That is who you are. As Christian believers, we are the righteous by his grace. That's what he's given us. And if someone hasn't come to God for that, they remain in their own foolishness, the category of the fool. And we've got this language here of the lips. Lips are about what we say. So the righteous person speaks to nourish many. Nourish means to feed, to encourage, to nurture many others with that knowledge that they have. It's so important for me to underline here that always in the Christian life, before we're commanded to do anything, we're given grace. Jesus Christ is the righteous one whose words of grace save us from the death that our own foolishness deserves. Before we're told to speak to others, Jesus speaks words to us. He speaks the gospel. before we're told to nourish others, Jesus nourishes us, forgives us all our sins. Before we're told to feed others, Jesus feeds us with his body broken for us on the cross. And having done all that and made us into these word babies, he calls us to feed others. Now, when I was a little boy, there was an elderly lady who lived, whose garden backed onto the bottom of our garden. And I used to like to practice my free kicks in the garden to be just like David Beckham. So whenever I kicked the ball over the garden fence, we'd have to walk around and knock on Rita's door. And she'd always greet us with a plate full of chocolate penguin bars. Always a plate full. It was just the two of us, like me and my mum or my sister or something. But a plate of penguins we always got. And once they were done, it would be onto the chocolate cake she baked. And then when we left, we'd leave with a box of celebrations, each. And she'd always say, "I'm a feeder. I'm a feeder," she'd tell us. Do you know someone like that? A feeder? Rita's a picture of what Proverbs wants us to be, a spiritual feeder with our words. Less sugar, more spiritual nutrients. The lips of the righteous nourish many. And for the rest of our time, I want us to keep chewing on these words and imagining what this could look like in our time together on a Sunday morning. Of course, these principles apply to the rest of the week and other people we meet, but I want us to spend this morning focusing in on our time together on a standard Sunday morning. Because those of us who call All Souls our church family and the 9:30 particularly our own congregation will know that one of the blessings about being a part of this church and the things we love about being a part of it is that we're a large church and we're a city centre church. Many blessings that come from that. Lots of different people to get to know. Lots of different ministry opportunities to sign up and serve on. And there's lots of reach as we can impact the whole city and beyond. It's one of the blessings we experience of being a part of All Souls is it's a large church, a city centre church. But also one of the things that can feel hard about being a part of All Souls is that it's a large church and a city centre church. It's just worth, I think, being honest about that. We are a large city centre congregation, and there are many blessings that come from that, and some challenges. And some of those challenges particularly come for how we can speak with one another. At first might be, well, we are running lots of different ministries, and often at large scale, that need careful organising and rotas, which are important. It's important to know in a congregation this size when I'm on and when I'm off that serving rota. But with that can breed a mindset in me of thinking, well, I'm only really needed here when it's my week on the rota. Second might be, well, because of the size of our congregation, it's possible to think to ourselves, I think no one would probably notice if I wasn't here this week. And that might literally be true. I mean, even if someone was deliberately looking for you, I know you might be sitting upstairs and they might be sitting downstairs underneath you, or in the size of the crowd at the end, we just don't catch each other. And with that feeling of not being noticed in a crowd, it's tempting to think, well, maybe I'm not needed. Third is, we are in the middle of a large spread out city, and so it's less likely that we'll just bump into each other in the week. I don't bump into each other in the supermarket and say, oh, hi, Bob, or whoever it is. And we probably won't spend so much time together midweek, so it takes a longer time for us to get to know each other. Partly one of the things that comes with that is it's harder to remember people's names, perhaps, when we see each other less often. And that can feel awkward after a while. We sit on the road just to the side of you and we say good morning most weeks, but I can't remember your name and it's been too long and so I feel too awkward to ask. I'm sure we've all been there. I'm sure we've all experienced that. I think it's, again, just worth being honest about that. We are a large city centre congregation and we get so many blessings from that, but there are also challenges. A friend of mine was telling me about what a church of his that he'd been to did in lockdown. And, you know, back in that period when the scientific advice and government policy was changing every week, churches really scratching their heads each week trying to work out what could we do for church that week, where can we gather, how many of us, all that kind of thing. And this church is outside of London. And they had quite a small building, but quite a large car park. So they did car park church. Okay, here's how it worked. Everyone drove into a car park spot. You stayed in your car. Waved to the people to the left, waved to the people to the right. The service was played with loudspeakers and everyone stays in their cars, socially distanced, listened to the sermon, sang along to the songs. And at the end, they're sent away with a blessing. So go in peace to love and serve the Lord. At which point they'd start their engines, wave to the person to the left, wave to the person to the right, put it in reverse and drive off. That's car park church. Now, of course, I commend that church for trying to do what they felt they could in lockdown. But Car Park Church is miserable and unhealthy. And with the challenges that come from being a large city centre congregation in ordinary times, there is a danger of doing Car Park Church together. You come in, you sit down, hello to the person next to me, hello to the person next to me, and I'm off at the end. And I know there are times when someone does need to dash off at the end for very understandable reasons. And I know for some of us, being in a room this large can actually feel quite hard as the particular people we are. I know that. But none of us should want to do Car Park Church when our words could be used to nourish many. When you could be growing into a fat word baby and feeding other word babies on a Sunday. Just the other week, after a 9:30 service, I was talking to a man here. To be honest, we don't know each other yet very well. But after the kind of usual how are yous, I said, what struck you from the sermon? And it was that one about craving pure spiritual milk. And we got on to talking about daily bread and that daily Bible reading program. And he told me how he'd started doing that daily reading with his children in the evening before bed. And I left church that week with a spring in my step to go back home and get the Bible open with my little kids. He nourished me with his words. There's an old-fashioned phrase I think we should bring back called the ministry of the pew. A pew, what's a pew? Pews are those traditional wooden benches churches often used to have, old church buildings. This is All Souls when we had them back in the day. I don't know exactly when that phrase, ministry of the pew, started being used. But the point was to say that all the word ministry that feeds us on a Sunday doesn't just happen up in the pulpit or the chancel stage in our case, though it is happening here. It's that there is a very real word ministry opportunity happening in the pews, in the chairs after the service. And that's what that man did for me. The ministry of the pew. One word baby feeding another word baby, being nourished by their words. And in a large city-centred congregation, this is a ministry where we don't need to wait for our turn on the rota. There's an opportunity every week. The ministry team is the whole congregation. You are needed every week. And I know there'll be some here who only actually expecting to be in London for a really short period, maybe with work before heading back home elsewhere. But if that's you, this is a ministry where you could make a tremendous impact in your time here at the 9:30. The reason why we finish the formal part of our service at 10:40 each week, but the children's groups don't end until 10:50, is to give us the opportunity for ministry of the pew. Even those of us who have to dash off to pick up kids from different locations or we have little kids' nap times to get home for, we have 10 minutes each week to get going as a congregation in this ministry. Now, I know there are some introverts in the room right now thinking, talking to hundreds of people, please no. I get that. And I know this room can feel loud and crowded. But I'd really like to say to us today, don't focus on the crowd. The prayer of the ministry of the pew is, Lord, please give me one nourishing conversation today. Just one. That'd be a great prayer to pray on your way into church each week. May my lips nourish one person today. And that aim will nourish many people in our lifetime. The Lord can answer that prayer in many different ways. Having those conversations may well look different for each of us, depending on our own personalities and temperaments. So let me share some options for us, a menu of what this might look like for us as a congregation on any given Sunday. So let me tell you some stories of people at the 9:30 who have been nourished by words after a service. I think one Sunday a year ago, when a woman came to All Souls, it was her first time ever in a church, any church. After the service, someone spotted them sitting on their own, went over and said hello to them, listened to them as they spoke, kind of sensed that they were searching, and gave them a warm but unpressured invitation to Christianity Explored. And that woman came the next Monday to Christianity Explored. And she stayed in the follow-up Bible study, More to Explore, for another year. And she said to me just a few weeks ago, I'm not yet a Christian believer, but I just love being here. The people are so kind, and I want to understand Christianity. And we keep praying for her to come to faith in Christ herself. But she's had that opportunity to experience that because one person noticed her, said hello, and listened to her after a service, and gave her a friendly invitation. So So to ask you, if you were to bring a non-Christian friend with you on a Sunday, what would the person you'd like them to sit next to be like? What would their manner be like? How warm would they be? Be that kind of person. Be the kind of person you'd love your non-Christian friend to sit next to on any given Sunday. As I've been preparing to preach this, I've been talking to people about their own experiences of this at All Souls. And what struck me as I've talked to people is that a few words can go a really long way. One mum told me after the service she was heading downstairs to pick up her child. Felt like it had been quite a busy morning and she was humming the final song to herself in the service. She'd felt actually quite moved by the song. When someone next to her just said, "Oh, good song, hey?" They had a brief chat about how full of the gospel the words were. It's the one that goes, "There is a higher throne than all this world has known, where faithful ones from every tongue will one day come." And in just that brief moment on the way to pick up the children, in a really busy season of life, they shared a moment of nourishing joy together, spiritual brothers and sisters longing for that day. Another man told me about a time the week before he'd helped serve in the kitchen for an event and how encouraged he'd been by one person coming to him just to say thank you. And he said to me, "Our Lord came to serve, so when that person encouraged me, I found it made me want to be more faithful in acting out a Christ-like life." Another person told me about how last Sunday someone asked how quite a specific situation was in their life, which they talked about the week before, and then they told them that they'd been praying about it. Another man told me about how the sermon series we had on contentment a few weeks ago had really challenged him. And when the sermon finished, he kind of sitting there thinking, "Oh, I've got a lot to digest here and think about." And chatting to the people who usually sit in the row behind him helped him. He said he was encouraged to find that they had similar struggles to him in that area. And they helped each other think about the difference Jesus makes to searching for contentment. Another told me during a time of acute personal suffering, they were standing on the steps outside after a service, and someone just said to them that they knew it was a hard season that they're in. It's a hard road they're walking down. Someone acknowledging the pain they were going through encouraged them just that week to keep going. And what struck me as I heard little stories and anecdotes like that was just a few words can go a long way. A thank you. I love the words of that hymn. I'm praying for you. How was that in the week? The lips of the righteous nourish many. And as I look around on a Sunday morning, I'm so encouraged to see and hear of little conversations like that happening all over the building and the steps outside. Keep going. But I know there'll be others of us sitting here and thinking, "Simon, that sounds like a lovely idea, but it's not really my experience on a Sunday. I don't want to do car park church, so how do I start?" And I know it is a big room and it can feel loud and busy and crowded after the service finishes. But can I encourage you to make the ministry of the pew prayer your own? Just, "Lord, just one nourishing conversation today." That could be 30 seconds. That could be 30 minutes. And in a room this size, I know it can be tricky to remember names. So we can't let that stop us as a congregation. That's why I thought this Sunday would be a good one to have the name badges on. But also I think we just need to agree to have an informal rule at the 9:30 that it's not awkward to say, "I'm really sorry, I can't remember your name." As far as I have the power to do so, that is no longer awkward, I announce. That's totally okay. As some of us might be wondering, I don't know how to move from, I don't know, talking about the weather to talking about the nourishing word of God. How do I kind of break the ice? And that's why today, actually, the questions that Sue's left us with about serving will be up on the screens after the service. But it does take someone having the courage and love to initiate a conversation. Actually, on any given Sunday, asking, "What did you enjoy from the sermon?" can kick things off. And then giving each other the space and time to actually think about an answer. So on the one hand, the ministry of the pew is something we can do with people we don't know that well at all, because we are all brothers and sisters in Christ. But on the other hand, there are particularly nourishing words between people who do know each other well. One person said to me that after one sermon that particularly impacted me, a friend just sat with me quietly for 20 minutes while I processed. By chatting and praying with me, she created space for the word of God to sink in and do its work. Another told me about the inner burden they're carrying in having an adult child who they deeply love, who's no longer a regular churchgoer. They told me that having a close and godly friend who gently asked him how his child was and listened to him on a Sunday He just felt like that friend stepped into the burden with him as they talked and prayed. There are particularly nourishing words between people who do know each other well. And in a room this size, there is wisdom in being deliberate on a Sunday about trying to speak to a particular person regularly, not in a kind of cliquey, only this person this week or every week. But there is wisdom, I think, in thinking roughly a few Sundays a month, I'll sit in roughly the same place and hope to speak to that person and nourish each other with our words. And there might be someone in your life group. And maybe I can ask what I could pray for them and then ask them about it the next week. And maybe where we can wrestle with the sermon series or talk about the Daily Bread Bible reading plan if we're doing it. Like, what was it this week about? Was it Lot's wife turned into a pillar of salt? What was going on there? It might look like being deliberate. So maybe a text the day before, shall we grab coffee together after the service? Or shall we both go to congregational lunch together? Being deliberate. And I think for those of us who do find speaking to others in a crowd especially hard, this might be where we could be intentional in advance, maybe arranging to meet someone we know in a quieter spot that would work well for us. We are all different, different temperaments, different stages of life. This will look different for each of us. But think of what I said this morning as a menu of options to consider, to imagine. Because over the course of the next year, how will you use the 10 minutes after a 9:30 service? 10 minutes times 52 Sundays in the year is 8 hours and 40 minutes. Imagine if we all prayed, Lord, give me one nourishing conversation this Sunday morning. Imagine the blessing we'd be to others. Imagine the impact those little habits would have compounded over a year. Imagine the encouragement that we'd receive. Imagine leaving here spurred on to fight sin. Imagine the comfort being offered in a hard season. Imagine the joy of seeing one another growing in love. Imagine the chubby little word babies we'd become. When I look around and I see these conversations happening amongst us at 9:30, I'm so encouraged. So keep going and let's get going. The lips of the righteous nourish many. Let's pray. Our Father, we praise you for the Lord Jesus Christ, the true righteous man whose lips have nourished us. Lord, please give us one nourishing conversation today. Amen.